Good evening, and thank you for tuning in once again to Issues Concerning Women. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and I'm on every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 9 p.m. And I would like to invite you to tell your friends all about Issues Concerning Women. We talk about real issues, real topics, our everyday lives, what's going on. And if this is your first time with Issues Concerning Women, welcome. We're happy that you are able to join us. And we hope that you will enjoy the show and tell a friend about it. If you would like to call me directly, my telephone number is 757-567-6734. If you would like to call into the show right now, the telephone number to call is 347-826-7543. That's 1-347-826-7543. If you're a first-time listener, we just want to tell you a little bit about Issues Concerning Women. Our vision focuses on women and family reaching their long- and short-term goals. We assist in housing, finances, and life skills. Issues Concerning Women provides advocacy and services to infuse and stabilize households and foster a sense of community involvement while helping self-determined women gain everything that they need. Our vision is to empower women through hands-on demonstrations, home ownership, career development and assistance, investing for retirement, exercise and nutrition classes, entrepreneurship, and adult literacy programs. We are excited about our show tonight. We're going to talk about household economics. The last few weeks we've been dealing with authors and writing, so I thought I would switch it up a little bit because a lot of people are going through so many things in their lives right now, and I found this wonderful information that I wanted to share with you. So if you want to call in, you can do that by calling 1-347-826-7543. Or you can email me directly at cinevesign@aol.com. Whatever the form of our household, whether we live in an apartment or in a upscale residence in the suburbs or a farmhouse, a nursing home, a trailer, a brownstone, or the office where we find ourselves living, our home places define basic ways of life. We count on the predictability, motion of moving into, through, and from our space. The way we routinely approach our home and fondle for the key or doorbell is occupied with a sometimes surprisingly fierce sense that it matters to us whether or not we have a Christmas tree in our window in December or candles on our table on Friday evening and food. Indeed, the food we particularly like in the fridge and cupboard. Home is where we let down our hair and we rest well. Home is where we figure out primary patterns of nurture and productivity, habits of need and desire, forms of rage and forgiveness, ways of taking time and discovering the people who count for us. Home is where we share our love and our understanding, where we have patience, we have sympathy, we have rage sometimes. Home is where everything about us comes out in its true form. Those in our home know us best and can tell others surely about us. Our households are a anchoring place where over time we craft the practices by which we prosper or fail to prosper. For most, economics suggests something quite different. Money, markets, investments, trade, taxes, profit, loss, and the cultivation of wealth understood in those terms. As such, economics and the complexity of the contemporary world is presumed to be something understood only by experts. Economists, bankers, brokers, budget directors, accountants, attorneys, and other financial advisors. In fact, the word economics is grounded in such a broader set of meanings. Like the words innumerable and illogical, economics is rooted in the Greek word oikos, meaning household, and signifies the management of the household. arranging what is necessary for well-being, good economic practice, positive ways of exchanging goods and services is about the well-being, the livelihood of the whole household. I have a quote that I want to read to you, and it's from The Frugal Gourmet. Always be sure that when your kids are helping in the kitchen, they are having a good time. We either cook for each other or we starve. There are no other rules. And I think this is was quite cute when I read that, because in our homes is where we spend a great deal of our time if we're not working. So many of us now are working from home. We're conducting our businesses. We are serial entrepreneurs. We have several businesses going on. And we're in a position where we're able to make economical changes in our situations by being able to work from home. And I think this is a great way for us to move forward in the economy. I know that so many of us, men and women, are starting new businesses in the new year, and I thank God for that. And I want you to know that there is help available for you if you need it, because we all need to make economic changes. We need to know how to budget. We need to know how to save. If we're running our businesses, we need to know accounting if you're a one-man show or you're able to hire somebody. What we're talking about tonight is making a change in our household. How can we move forward in 2011 if we're still doing the same things that we did in 2010? We want to move forward and be the best people that we can be about our business, be about running a tight ship, being about being productive in our lives, in our homes, and outside of our homes. We have to consider the well-being of our whole household. We are undergoing a profound reordering of our shared planet household, our economic life. While the notion of home in American culture has shrunk from meaning one's town or region to meaning only his or her own house or apartment, at the same time, it has become less possible to isolate our individual households from the world around us. Why? Because we're doing business from our home. We're inviting people into our homes and into our lives, and we're opening up in a way that we've never done before. If you're running a home-based business, then it's likely that you will have people stopping by for appointments every now and then. So many of us can no longer afford to go out and have an office space. You know, it's wonderful. I miss mine tremendously at sometimes, and then other times I'm so, so grateful that I am able to work from home. And a home-based business is wonderful in itself. It has its advantages and its disadvantages. The advantages are you're at home. You don't have to get dressed if you don't like to. Some people want to do business in their pajamas, and that's fine. Others, like me, I want to get dressed because I want to feel powerful, and I want to comb my hair, and I want to look nice. But that's just me. That's who I am. I'm a girly girl, and anybody that knows me can tell you that. I don't have to, you know, put on a suit, but I can, you know, get dressed to go into my office to work. That's one of the advantages. But one of the disadvantages is, since I am at home, my family tends to think that I'm really not doing anything in the office. I'm there and I'm available at their beck and call, which can wear you out sometimes. So we have to make sure that they understand we are running a business from home. And we do have business hours. And, again, we have some flexibility. We can go do our errands and we can do laundry. But guess what happens? You're distracted from what you need to do when you're running your business. So that's one of the disadvantages. But let your family know that this is important, that this is how we earn our money, so that we still can go out and have lunch and do other things in the household, because we're saving money because we don't have to go to the office. One of the other disadvantages is having people that you don't know come to your home. You might not be so comfortable with that. I know my husband is very private, and he, like most men, he doesn't want a lot of people in and out of the house. But he understands that sometimes people do have to come because that is the nature of my business. So he, you know, he's adapted, but it has taken him some time to get used to having strangers in our home. So what I do primarily is I try to go out and meet somebody for a coffee or a lunch date so that we can get to know each other and spend those 3 hours outside of the home. More and more now, we define the security of our private home as a place where we have to open it up so it's no longer private any longer, just like I was just talking about. And that's really hard for some people if they're like my husband. He, again, I have to reiterate, is a very personal person. He doesn't like a lot of conversation. He's very quiet. I'm the talker in the house, as you probably all know, you know, that know me. But it's fine. It works for us. We also can limit our travel if we work from home, and that's another advantage. So that saves us money. So what we need to do, and what I want to reiterate tonight, because we're talking about economics and we're talking about our households, this is a way that we can save money. So we have to put that down as an advantage. You're saving on gas. You're not commuting as much. You're not in the car. I drive an SUV. So somebody asked me yesterday, as a matter of fact, how much does it take to fill up your car? I don't know. And the reason why I said I don't know, because I never let it get past a half a tank. I know what I put in there. When I go to the gas station, I usually try to put a certain amount in each time so that it always goes back to full. I never let it get down past a half a tank, because I don't know if I could fill it up at this time, with gas being the price that it is. But in the meanwhile, two economics are merging. As we think about what is happening in our lives, we're able to spend more time at home and be with our families, but we're also able to conduct business and make an income for our families, which is another advantage. I am excited about so many people that are starting businesses, and if you're one and you just don't know how to get started, we have that information for you. If you would like to contact me, I'll be able better to give you some direction and guidance on how you can go about starting your business. When we're at home, we're able to use our personal PCs and get the same amount of work done that we would do if we were in the office, because we have everything at home that we have at the office. We have our fax machines and our printers, and we're able to do and run our business very professionally from home. So please don't let that stop you from starting a home business. It may take time for you to gain some of your equipment, but you don't have to buy everything brand new. Think about, again, how you need to budget what you have saved up for your business, because I'm sure that you've done that. If you're a smart cookie, you've done that, and you're ready to get your business going. The other thing is when we work from the household, we're also able to be productive, but we just have to remember that family will always take precedence over the business. If something is going on in the household, you may need to stop and take care of that. But that's okay. You can still go right back to taking care of the business side of it as well. One of the reasons it's difficult to talk about either the satisfactions or the stresses of our economic life is that any linkage between faith and economics, and it awakens a degree of apprehension. If we really are faithful, we suppose, we would have to sell all that we have and give it away to the poor. That's Mark 10 and 21. We presume that something difficult and unattractive would be required. We would be asked to move from material comfort to a supposedly spiritual but surely less comfortable way of life. But the choice is that is faithful is not necessarily between the comfortable and the uncomfortable. For Christians, the move that is faithful is not from the material to the spiritual, but rather from materialism to incarnation. So when I just wanted to talk about that for a minute, because when we're thinking about economics and we're thinking about where we are and we're thinking about how our lives have changed, we need to do some things differently. We need to include in our economic situation our spiritual life as well. That's why I wanted to bring that into this. Because when we are looking at our situations, the Bible says that God will equip us with everything that we need. So we have to have that spiritual element in our lives. And some people, you know, they are Christians and they worship God, and some people are other faiths, and what they believe in is fine, and they must have faith in anything that they're believing in, because you know without faith this works as that. So even when we're in our businesses, in our homes, we have to know that. We have to include the spiritual side in our economics. You know, they said all this mix things together, but for us in this day and time, I think that's kind of where our economics is going. We have to know what we hold close to us sometimes are material things, and some of those things we need to let go. Some of them are no longer important to us. We have ways of making money and changing things, and I want to let you know that that's going to help with the economy. If you look at all the things that you possess, are they material things or are they things that were a necessity for the well-being of your home? Did they give you satisfaction or did they give you stress? So that's one of the things you have to think about. So I want to talk about that a little bit more in a little bit more detail, because if when we look around our homes, we have acquired so many material things. And if we would just let go some of them, we'll be able to bring more funds into the household. If you have extra clothing that you can no longer wear and it's in good condition, they have consignment shops. You can go take a few items there and put them on consignment. And when they sell, that's extra money for your pocket. You can have a yard sale if you have children's clothes, and especially kids' jeans and gym shoes. You know, they wear those all the time, but they don't wear them out because they're well made, and you can make money from that, and that's going to help our economic household. It also helps us when we give, and that's the spiritual side of it. So when we put the two together, it really makes sense that when we talk about our economics, we have to talk about our spirit man as well. So that's why I wanted to bring that into our conversation. I am so grateful if you were tuning into the show tonight. I'm Francine Humphrey, your host of Issues Concerning Women, and we are all about enlightening you and talking about real issues. And if you would like to call in, the number is 1-347-826-7543. If you're in the chat room, welcome. I'm still not able to get that going. I did pull it up tonight, and last week we had a little issue with it, but that was okay. You know, it's good that we are on the air. You can listen to the program on your computer or by your telephone. So if you have questions, you can give me a call. That number again is 1-347-826-7543. And I also would like to thank all of the supporters that have been listening to the show. I get emails all the time telling me that you enjoy it. Thank you. Thank you so much. I wouldn't still be on the air if it wasn't for my listeners, because I hope and pleased when I hear the feedback that you enjoyed the show. God has been so good and so amazing to me and my family the last couple of years, and I count this a blessing, and this is a way for me to give back. I love radio. I also do a live show every night from a 15-minute show, 9:30 to 9:45, on a local station here in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And it's 12:70 a.m. if you're one of our local listeners. If you're out of town, you can continue to reach me on the Internet. So please continue to send in your questions. Please continue to connect with me. It really touches my heart when I get the feedback from you all that you have enjoyed the show. Poverty has a very human face, one that is very different from simplicity. Poverty is involuntary and debilitating, whereas simplicity is voluntary and enabling. Poverty is mean and degrading to the human spirit, whereas a life of conscious simplicity can have both a beauty and a functional integrity that elevates the human spirit. And that's Dwayne Elgin, Voluntary Simplicity, from that writing. And that's a wonderful passage. And every time I read it, I kind of get a little goosebumps, because it does make sense. When we think about our lives, we complicate them so many times. When we face adversity and situations in our economics that we don't think we can go on, we can. We have the ability to move forward and to go on. We just have to keep in our minds and keep our faith and keep our spirits up high that we're going to be provided with everything that we need, because we have been a faithful people, and we're always going to be rewarded that for what we do. I was talking a few minutes ago about giving to the community, and once you give and if you learn that principle, it will change your whole economic situation. And I know you may not believe me. You may be thinking, she don't know what she's talking about, but trust me, I do. When you look at celebrities such as Oprah and Donald Trump and Rich Man, Poor Man, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I can't think of his name right now, but everybody knows who I'm talking about. Ellen DeGeneres, you know, Gail King. All of these people have one thing in common. They're givers. Even the rap singers, you know, Jay-Z and Jamie Foxx, they all are givers. They give. They don't give because they're expecting anything back. It's just a law of nature. When you give, you're going to receive. You know, you don't have to be holier than thou to receive a blessing from the Lord. You just have to be the kind of person that wants to help make a change for somebody. The Bible talks about when I am thirsty, give me something to drink. When I am hungry, feed me. Why? Because God will bless you. He will return it to you 100-fold. The poor can never give us back anything. And that's the thing that we have to remember. People, I'm trying to tell you, when you give to the poor, you give with a kind heart, with joy in your heart, and God will let somebody else bless you who has an abundance. Don't expect anything back from the poor. That is not what it's all about. The law in the Bible states that if you give with a cheerful heart, then it will be returned to you. So you kind of see where I'm going with this. In our economics, in our way of life, we have to change the way that we think. We have to practice our Christian ways. We have to walk in everything that God has given us. We have the right as citizens to help each other. We need to know where we are and what we're doing. And many of us are not getting fed the things that we need to get fed because we have a calling on our lives, but we are unable at this particular time to receive it. And we are just so into our own things that we're doing. We're thinking about, you know, I'm having a hard time. I'm not able to make ends meet. But once you start to help somebody else, you will see your whole situation turn around. Once you start being kind and gentle and being loving, you know, February is the love month. We've been talking about that all throughout the month. It is about loving each other, having patience, being understanding, knowing your economic situation can change, and it can change today. Simple rule is to look at what you have, share it with somebody else, get rid of some of the things that you don't need, gain some savings for a savings account, start all over again if you must. But start with a budget. Start looking at your household as a more prosperous household, and don't think about what you don't have. Look at all the things that you do have. If you look around your house and count up all that you have spent, look at your hair products, ladies, your makeup, your perfumes, your different stockings, and gentlemen, your products that you use, your colognes and your shaving creams and your stuff you use for the car, and, you know, we go out and we buy all these gadgets and things that we don't need. Look at all the money we could save. If you pull all those things out and start looking at it, you have duplicates because you couldn't find something, so you went out and bought another one instead of looking for the one that you had because you got tired of looking for it. And this is okay because we all do it. We all have a tendency to materialize things and want more things, and when we have beautiful things, and we're used to beautiful things, we want to continue to have them. But we need to also look at our households and downsize some things and be able to move forward and figure out how we can help others, figure out the things that we don't need that we can donate. You know, we have food that we don't eat. We waste so many things, but, you know, we're just a blessed people, and we just have to look at where we are and what's going on with us in these times. As we enter into the new year with economic changes and find ourselves grappling with busyness and cumber, fear and guilt, those communities of faith invite us to ask ourselves a set of strategic questions. How do we learn to look at our household as a household of wealth? How do we learn to talk to others about our economic situations? What is abundance and what is enoughness? What is right for us and what is wrong for us? How can we change the situation that we're in? We don't want you to be bogged down with, I made so many mistakes. We all have gone through so many changes in the last few years. The economy is not going to turn around in the twinkle of an eye or a pop of a finger. But we're able to look at where we are, look at our household, look at our household situation, look at our businesses, our home-based businesses. If you have not started a business, why don't you think about starting one today? It can be something as simple as pet sitting. You know, if you like animals, but you must love animals, find your passion. And when people say that to you, I know you'll be like, oh, my God, here they go again, talking about finding your passion. But guess what? You have different levels of passion. It's different tiers of passion. You know, I have a passion for flowers. I could lay it down in a field of flowers, all roses, and I'm, you know, with thorns, I'll probably get stuck. You know, lilies, I love lilies. Calla lilies, my favorites. I love flower arrangements. I love making flower arrangements, silk or live flowers. That's one of my passions. I love sewing. I make clothes. I design different outfits. I love clothes. I love interior design. I love, you know, redecorating the house, moving the furniture around, trying to figure out placement. These all things are my passion. I know I can't do them all at the same time, but whatever project I'm working on, and that's how I list it as a project, I'm working on that project until it's complete. You know, I'm an author. I write books. Actually have a couple of books that are coming out in the next couple of weeks. I've been blessed, asked to go to Tennessee. I'm going to be there for a week. And if so, if any of my listeners are in Tennessee, shoot me an email at cinedesign@aol.com. I would love to meet you while I'm there. If possible, we're going to have a workshop there so I can get to invite you to that. But, you know, we just have to look at where we are in our households, in our economics, and in our business. And we have to have a mindset and a change of mind. We're getting down to our last few minutes, so if you want to call me in right now, the number is 1-347-826-7543. Or if you want to call me on the phone, 757-567-6734. Or shoot me an email directly at cinedesign@aol.com. I know I always give a lot of information, and tonight, even forgot to tell you, get your pencil and paper, but you know, if you've been listening to my show, you know what to do. You know, we give out a lot of information, and I hope, and I know that it helps you because I get the feedback, but I'm hoping that you enjoy the shows and that you'll continue to listen, that you invite your friends and family to listen. And one tip I'm going to give tonight, if you are in a bad economic situation, you have to do a mind changing and a heart changing. If you are working on a job where your boss is unpleasant to you, tomorrow go in with forgiveness on your heart. Pray if you have to in your car and say, Lord, let me change this situation around. I'm going to have a good attitude today. I can't stand my boss. He or she gets on my nerves. But you know what? I'm going in and I'm going to be the best that I can be today. I'm going to have a new attitude. I want to be elevated in my job. If I have to work here every day, day in and day out, I spend so many hours here, I need to be happy here. I'm going to go and ask the boss, is there something that I can do to make his or her job a little bit easier? And watch and see what happens. Watch and see the power of elevation. Oh, thank you so much for listening to Issues Concerning Women. I hope you turn in and tune in again next Thursday at 8:30, and I hope you tell a friend about it. Use that tip tomorrow. I guarantee you, if you do that, and I know it takes 21 days to make changes, but you do it continuously, and guess what? Something's going to happen. and email me and let me know. CINEDESIGNAARL.com or call me at 757-567-6734. You can also use that in your everyday life. This is Issues Concerning Women. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. I hope you have enjoyed it. I look forward to being with you again next Thursday. I hope you have a wonderful week. Good night.